It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warm in here, buddy.
Why don't you come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey. Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Oh, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here. 105.1 The Fan. And the Fan Sports Network.
Not trying to be a chotch.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Don't be a chotch out there.
Don't be a chotch.
Lesson of the day.
Be polite. Stick with your golf group. People's vibes will be okay. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program here. Thanks for tuning in on 1080 AM, 105.1 FM, the Odyssey app, or YouTube. It's nice to have everybody in. We've got a delightful little show for you, a fun hour one. As we roll on to hour number two, I do want to say I have not said this on our show. You haven't said it on the show. I wanted to thank everybody for selling out the 12th annual Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota.
Look at you.
Thank you, guys. We cannot wait to see you out there on June 23rd. Boy, June 23rd, that's just a couple days after the Cargo Shorts Classic.
That is. It's going to be a busy golf week here at the Fan.
Could be... testy little tent situation up at the infamous Angels
whoever
empty
ends up,
bourbon par 3-6th hole.
Whoever wins Cargo Short Classic is going to have a lot of bragging rights. A lot of bragging rights.
Thank you to you guys. This event only happens because you're awesome. We'll all be having Matt's Barbecue out there. And thank you again to Toyota, Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson Dotter Windows Doors, George McCoy, Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Laura Horse Market Steakhouse and Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Illegal Mezcal, Pub Beer Cheap Fun, and Window Nation.
Boom goes the dynamite.
A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. The NBA Finals, Game 1 is today.
It's upon us. Hello.
Are you jacked?
I am very excited. This is the most excited I've been for an NBA Finals. Ooh. Been a minute since I've been this excited. Not to say that every series has sucked or like it hasn't been entertaining or every, you know, matchup's been bad.
Toronto Golden State do it for you?
No.
Because KD going into that.
KD was coming back and trying to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was attempting to. He ended up coming back, in game three, I think he tried to make
his
return.
Are you going into the Wayback Machine of a decade ago?
I might go LeBron, Golden State.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a unique player that we haven't really seen who's probably going to be the face of the league for a decade to come, getting his first chance on the biggest stage against New York. It is so expensive to go to a game at MSG for game three. Somebody had a great post and said, if you can't afford or you can't find a way to spend the amount of money it takes to get into game three, you know what you could do for the same price?
Go to San Antonio and get a ticket.
Or you can fly first class to Las Vegas, stay at a resort with like the honeymoon suite, and get club level seats to game three of the Stanley Cup Final. The plane ticket, the hotel stay, and the ticket to the game, and the plane return trip home, all of that costs the same amount of money that going to Game 3 at MSG does.
Sadly, I don't think that's going to hit for a New York
no,
sports
I
fan.
Don't think that it will. I don't think that's the way it'll work, unfortunately. But just to put into reference, how expensive is it? That's how expensive it is.
Well, the LeBron-Cleveland series in 16 when they came back from 3-1, it is, in the post-Michael Jordan NBA, it's the highest rated finals game they've had.
Yes, the Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Game 7 of the Finals. I went and saw the top, I think it was the top 12 or 10 games. Dude, it's kind of embarrassing in my opinion. Now, look, I understand The Last Dance and the Bulls winning their second, you know, having their second three-peat. It's kind of like crazy to see. I would say of the top 10 that I saw, it feels like six of the top 10 were the 97-98 Jazz Bulls finals games. Yeah. And I don't know. I was never really that excited about that matchup, I remember, in the moment. And so now to think about like, oh, that's the most watched is like, okay.
The 1998 NBA Finals averaged 29 million viewers.
Yeah, so
averaged 29 million.
The Heat.
They had almost 36 for Game 6.
Spurs Game 7 is tied with Game 1 of the 97 Jazz Bulls Finals. And that was a Jordan walk-off shot. I remember that shot. I was at my friend Casey's house, and I remember watching that in the moment, like, great game. You know, has a Jordan game winner in the championship. Can't ask for more than that. But it's kind of crazy to see that. I hope for all of we and everybody else in the media that has sold the New York Wemby thing, I hope it sticks with people. Like, you don't have to be a diehard basketball fan, in my opinion, to get excited for this championship.
No.
But we got it, and game one is tonight. Let's get to some audio here. Here's Jalen Brunson on getting to the finals and doing it while in New York.
It's definitely electric. I haven't really processed it as much as I probably should have, but I know that they've been great since day one. Since I've been here, they've been fantastic, and before then, they were as well. They're passionate, they're energetic, they're going to fight for the team always. And so it's a blessing to do this in the city.
How cool would it be to sit next to Ben Stiller and what's the gal from SVU, Mariska Hargitay? Do I have that right? Is that your last name?
I don't know. Is it the one gal that is on every SVU commercial?
Yeah, she's okay. Been there the whole run.
I've never watched SVU. Great.
You know, she's the only one. Ben Stiller shared this on the Jalen Brunson podcast. So Ben Stiller's obviously a big Knicks fan, right?
Yeah, he's down there with Timotei and Tracy Morgan.
And Kylie Jenner. And he was talking about how jealous he is of her because after every single Knicks game, win or lose, he goes and hugs her.
Really?
And he goes, "What's the deal with that? I'm at every game.
I'm here all the time,
supporting.
If you
even look at me, I get super excited and I get nervous, but I say, hey, good job.
But he hugs her, huh?
And he starts laughing. He goes, honestly, the story behind that is when my dad played in New York, before I go and practice basketball and he got home, that show just was always on and my dad would watch it and he would turn the TV up super loud. Like he watches TV too loud. You can hear from every room of the house. And so it would just be dun dun
dun dun
through
dun,
the whole dun, house dun, dun, every dun. Single day. And he said when he saw her at the Knicks game, it's the only person in his life he's ever been starstruck by.
That's hilarious.
Introduced himself. She obviously was a big fan of him. She doesn't go to every Knicks game, but he's like, yeah, so when she comes, I get excited and I give her a hug. You're at every game. And Ben Stiller goes, duly noted, don't go to every game.
Okay. Only a quarter of the games now from here on out.
The Spurs on the other side of it. Mitch Johnson is the second Spurs head coach to make the NBA Finals.
Yes.
And here's Mitch Johnson, former Portland Pilot assistant coach.
Quite an honor. That's probably something I haven't had the time to really digest and reflect on, but definitely understanding the history of our program and the standard that we've strived to be at and get back to, and obviously having Pop still such a part of our program and organization, and even for me personally, is a pretty memorable experience to get back to this spot and still have him a part of the daily experience of our program and to be such a resource for myself.
You see, Wemby said that as emotional as he looked after beating the Thunder, it looked like they won the title the way he reacted.
Yeah.
And I thought his post-NBC stuff was good because they asked him about that, and he's like, do you know how much emotion and energy I put into that series?
Right.
I thought it was his post-game, like initial post-games, are never very good to me. But like,
no, on the floor, he's a little awkward and short, and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because I think he's just processing, right? Yeah. But I think once he processes, he is so well articulated of how he's feeling and what he's thinking. And I love listening to him, and he basically was like, yeah, sometimes I look frustrated, and other times I cry. Like, that's just the emotions of what the sport brings out in me.
It's called being a human.
He said when he got back to San Antonio, he saw Pop first thing off the plane because they were there to greet him, and he got super emotional seeing Popovich.
Yeah, the whole Pop still being around and talking to the team after tough moments or big wins or whatever is definitely a unique angle. And I, on the idea of where this finals is going to go, did you see the final numbers that came in from the conference finals yesterday? So they came in, the average per game was 10.8 million viewers per game in the Western Conference Finals. Last year, the NBA Finals averaged 10.2.
Yeah.
So the Western Conference Finals just had better ratings, and that was a seven-game series, mind you, that went longer than everybody imagined going in, and Indiana had a legitimate shot to win.
Yep.
And so I think it just it goes in the face of this idea that you can't have an international player be the face of your league, because I think Victor Wembanyama is going to be that. I'm with you on the answers that he's given.
I think Giannis is.
Sure, and that's why, or Jokic, who won multiple MVPs in
Giannis
a title.
Is like, at least in like four commercials.
Yes. Yeah, it's just anybody who argues that, here's the data. If the Western Conference Finals is getting that, and I think he's the primary.
It's because of him.
OKC was in the finals last year and 10.2 million people watched. So more people watch conference finals this year, and I think it's because of Wemby. And I'm with you, man. Some of the answers that he gave. gave. He's very unique in that angle. His ability to relate as a human. There's a Giannis vibe to it, to be honest with you. Like, yeah. When you hear press conferences, he's very thoughtful. He's very well spoken. And so I'm always curious what he's going to say about stuff and to the emotions of him after, you know, winning game seven and talking about how much they put into it, how long he's been dreaming of this moment. This has been something that's crossed his mind since he could probably walk and dribble a basketball. He's thought about going and playing in the NBA Finals.
Yep.
And now it's finally been realized. And so I can't wait to see how he performs. I still hate San Antonio for the luck that they got in getting him. But having a player of this caliber on the biggest stage is incredible for the NBA, and it's going to be a great opportunity to showcase him, because there's just a percentage of people that will only watch this time of year or these kind of games, and they won't watch a ton of stuff in the regular season, and so you're going to get introduced to a absolute unicorn that we've never seen before.
Here is Wimby on OKC prepping them for New York.
OKC is probably the team that is the most confident and the strongest in its identity, and that pushes you to really to the extent of what you can do in terms of preparation and execution.
He also went on the Knicks matchup.
It's a team of guys that have been trying and willing and sacrificing a lot to try to get to the finals over years. And now they're here, and they're not gonna make it anything easy.
Well, I know we'll get into this a little bit in the final hour of the show at the back end, because we'll be signing off and we'll be going into a day of the NBA Finals Game 1. But asking you now in the 7 a.m. hour, where you're at on the series. I have seen all the takes. I've heard a lot of people. And, I really haven't heard one where I'm like, that's a dumb take. If you think the Spurs sweep.
Who the hell knows, man?
You know, I think one of the guys on ESPN is saying the Knicks in five. That'd be kind of a little surprising, but I'm not like, oh, it's the dumbest take I've ever heard. Where are you at on the series today, game one?
I mean, I think San Antonio, because of the home court advantage and the player that they have being so unique, has to obviously be the favorite. And surprise is not the right word. I would not be surprised if New York won, but it's not what I'm expecting. I think we're going to get a great series. I think New York has a starting five that's playing as good as anybody in the NBA right now. I think to Wemby's point in that quote, the unique thing about these two teams is that New York and this iteration of them, and I know some pieces have come and some have gone, they've been together for a number of years now. They've been kind of building to this moment to get to an NBA Finals, whereas San Antonio's had Wemby for 3 years, Castle for 2 years, and Harper for 1 year. Like, it's just Fox, I think, Fox came over last year in a trade, right at the deadline, so it's not a team who's been around for 4 or 5 years. And then you add on top of that, three of the biggest players on the Knicks did what in college together? They played together. The Villanova boys all played together, and they won a national championship. And so that's probably their biggest advantage. They just got to find a way. I don't know what they're going to do with Wemby. I don't know who's going to guard Wemby the entire game. I thought OKC at moments found success with Hartenstein on him, being a little more physical, bumping and grinding him a little bit.
Certainly better than Caruso.
It was way
better
than Caruso, and so is that OG Anunoby? Is that Josh Hart is a smaller? I'm just curious, like, what that strategy is. Robinson off the bench, like, who's going to be the guy that kind of comes in as that physical presence and tries to take Wemby out of the game? And then you're just going to have to, like we talked about this yesterday, what's the anecdote to beating a team with the best rim protector in the NBA? You got to shoot the ball at a high clip. And what did New York do, or what has New York done in the last two playoff series? They've shot the ball lights out. And so if they can continue to do that, you get one of the random Josh Hart games where he goes like 6 of 8 from three and can't miss, and MSG's going crazy. Like, they're going to make this thing a series, but I'm still going to pick San Antonio. I take San Antonio in 7, but I think we're in store for a really good NBA Finals.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. The Spurs winning certainly wouldn't surprise anybody. You get past OKC, even a depleted OKC, you still have to tip your cap to that. And I think where I land today is the same spot I've kind of been on for about a week. When they were going back and forth in that West Finals, I was like, I had the take of, if it's Spurs, I'm taking Knicks. If it's Thunder, I'm taking Thunder. And then I pivoted middle of that series. I'm like, I'm taking the Knicks. And I know they've been off for a week. They're red hot, but are they going to be red hot? Remember the game one of Cleveland? They had a couple days off in that one, and they had to come back from 22 down. And so maybe they're in a similar instance tonight, but I'm just going to take New York because of all the things I have heard. I wouldn't argue the West being better, but I can't get off the point of, I don't think either of these teams in the Western Finals beat anybody the Knicks couldn't beat. I don't think they faced one team that New York wouldn't have beaten.
Agree with you
if they played them in the playoffs. Now, the East is weaker than the West. There is no doubt. But it's only weaker because of those two teams, right? So, like, to give credit to the Spurs of getting past OKC, I'm also not going to knock down the East and New York's accomplishment of it. You still have to get through it. Over three regular season games, here's some stats for you. Over three regular season matchups this year, including the Cup Final.
The Cup Final.
The New York Knicks scored an efficient 125 points per 100 possessions against the Spurs. The Spurs ranked third in the regular season defensively, but the 125 per 100 was tied for New York's sixth best mark versus any opponent. Only the Nuggets scored more efficiently against San Antonio. The Knicks' best shooting game of the three was their two-point loss in San Antonio on December 31st. And the two wins, the Knicks' effective field goal percentage was just below league average. How about this one? In the Cup Final, the Knicks turned 23, and this is a key stat, 23 offensive rebounds into 32 second chance points. In their March 1st victory, they had 18 offensive boards and 23 second chance points. And in the three games, the Knicks committed just 35 turnovers. That's 11.8 per 100 possessions. So this is where I think the game could be, or the series maybe even swung. I don't think Landry Shamet's going to shoot 92% from three.
No.
I don't know if OG and Kat are going to shoot plus 45% from the perimeter, right? But where I think the game gets swung is on the glass. The one area outside of game one in the final, the conference finals, I think that you and I and everybody else would agree if we watched it. Wimby had a couple, like six?
Yeah.
Seven?
Yeah.
Total?
That's all you got?
You're 7-6?
Right.
Right? So, like, that's an area that's very interesting to me. Can Kat hit his threes? If Kat does, how much that stretches and changes the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the ability and how well they play together in New York is another factor for me of like, yeah, I think San Antonio's overall depth is better, but where and why I like the Knicks is, let's say Brunson does get in the lane and Wimby comes over to help. Their ball movement and chemistry is, I just think it's exceptional.
It's what
and
you build up over years, man.
I think them being more healthy than Oklahoma City was, I just really like the matchup for him in some capacity. And I know Mitchell Robinson's hand slash finger slash whatever the hell it was. Sounds like he punched something, by the way.
Yes, it does.
Whatever it was, losing in Madden to a 10-year-old. I don't know what caused it.
We've all been there, Mitchell.
We've all punched a hole in an apartment door. Trust us, Mitchell. Whatever it was, I will be very curious because he's one of the best offensive rebounders in the league. And I just think that's an area to really hurt this team is the second chance point category. Because they did it so well against him in the regular season in the Cup Final.
It's interesting because one of the storylines going into tonight, because you pointed it out against Cleveland. Now, they came back and won the game and ended up sweeping the series. But it's the rust idea for New York. They've been off for a while. They took care of Cleveland quickly, so they've just been sitting around. And so does that wear on you?
You think going on the road is actually kind of a good thing for them?
And I'm also
kind of move and
like, this might sound dumb because I understand it's the NBA Finals. But Wemby talked about what after Game 7? How much did they put into that series? And how many eggs were in that basket?
Yeah.
And you have this. And I know there's been a couple
really
of days
partied over that.
Dude,
that
it's game seven on the road. You get over the defending NBA champions.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying mentally they were saying this is the NBA Finals, but they put a lot into that series. And so now to re-engage, to click back in, New York's coming on the road with a really nothing to lose attitude for game one because you're on the road to start the NBA Finals. Like that's another angle for me that's interesting because I do think the rust idea for New York is valid because of how bad they played against Cleveland. But I think we've also seen teams off of big game seven wins come out and lay a bit of an egg in their next series to open things up. Think of Philly in their New York series, right? They get this big win over Boston in game seven on the road.
2 days later,
and they just got smoked in New York on going on the road for game one. And so San Antonio is much different than Philly. I grant you that. But it's another angle for me that I'm curious of just what do we get? Is it rust? Is it the come down? Do neither of those apply? Both teams play great, and we get a classic like we got in game one of the Western Conference Finals. I think the bet for me, though, for those reasons, will be New York money line tonight. I think I'm going to ride the Knicks money line tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to bet the Knicks on the road to win the series outright. I'll probably bet the Knicks tonight. I might just bet the Knicks every game, to be honest with you.
I mean,
you.
I want to root for my bets. I'm at that point, too. I'm not rooting. I don't want San Antonio to win the finals. I think it's good for the league. Wemby is here, but I hope New York wins this
series.
Well,
I'm rooting for a couple instances here. One, I just really love Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
I find him incredibly likable.
Short king stand up, baby.
Well, you know, prototypically or stereotypically, however you want to put it, like when you think of New York, you think braggadocious in your face. And like, he's not really that guy off the court. He's very quiet in nature. And But like when he's on the court, man, he is an assassin. And I love it. He is literally New York's Dame Lillard.
Yes, he is.
And I think it's been great to watch. I love how they built their team. They weren't scared to take big swings. Maybe it'll pay off. Maybe it won't. I'm probably going to bet New York. A couple things to note in this game. Who guarded Cat in the games that they played? Largely was Stephon Castle and Devin Vassell.
Okay.
And then who guarded Wimby? Josh Hart.
Yeah.
And it should be noted that when they put Mitchell Robinson on, Wimby tended to guard him the most. And so what they did in that instance is they put Wimby in on-ball screens. Robinson has set almost twice as many on-ball screens per 100 possessions for Jalen Brunson than Towns did. So I know Wimby's tall, but let's not act like Brunson getting Wimby on. He won't be thinking like, I can cook this dude. I can get a shot over this guy. So it'll be very interesting to see the matchup. I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a great NBA Finals.
And we're also coming off a Western Conference Finals where the regular season did matter. One of the storylines going into that series was that San Antonio won, what, 3 out of 4 against OKC?
And I poo-pooed it.
And you're like, it's regular season. No, and that was, and that's the general idea. People are like, it's game 17 of the regular season. Who cares? And then you look up at the end of the series, and there's San Antonio winning it. And so New York had some success against them in the regular season and famously in the NBA Cup. Will it translate to the NBA Finals? We'll find out starting tonight.
Just fascinated to see if the youth finally hurts San Antonio in some ways. Like, this is a very veteran team, New York.
Is there a moment that eventually becomes too big for them? Because so far the answer has been no.
Or they get outsmarted or out-schemed or whatever it is. Yeah, I'm very curious about it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good one. Game one, NBA Finals, is tonight. A lot to get to in the second hour. We roll on next on 105.1 The Fan. Brothers and sisters together around. Big day in college athletics today. Nick Saban, Pete Bavakwa.
Bavakwa.
And Teresa Gold are headlining.
You guys are in there? You're in the mix? You're at the hearing?
Well, we're pro.
You are pro.
We're pro.
Everybody's pro except my conference in the SEC.
Yeah, so they're going to have a Senate Commerce Committee meeting this morning, actually.
It's happening
probably right now.
As we speak, it's going on.
Obviously, we're not going to go live to it, and we'll have to kind of wait to see what comes out of it. But they're going to talk about the Protect College Sports Bill that is going to go through the votes through the Senate and then the House. It's interesting because the Big Ten and the SEC yesterday literally had a joint statement of like, we are against this.
All the storylines about them being at odds over the playoff expansion, Big Ten versus the SEC yesterday, I thought that was pretty telling that it was a joint statement between the two conferences.
Those are two different conversations, right? Yes. Like how many teams in the playoff versus not or whatever. This is not fair to us, and so that's why they do a joint statement. Here's something interesting to me. So is Saban pro this? Because his entire conference, including the school he coached at and won all those titles at, is not. So it's a very odd look to me.
I don't know what his stance is on it. I don't know if he's released a statement on it.
Well, he went to the Trump meeting.
He did, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it feels like he's sounded off a lot on how broken college sports is. I would make an argument. I know this might not stick with everybody.
Ooh.
I'd make an argument that he knew he was not going to be able to dominate the dojo anymore because everybody can portal. And I think you saw that. And yeah, he made the playoff, but that was because the committee just didn't have any balls for Florida State. And so he got the hell out of there. But it feels like he's been pretty anti this era of college sports.
Yes.
And so I don't know. Maybe he's going to stick up for the SEC, but it's kind of an odd look if he doesn't, considering the SEC came out yesterday.
It is a little weird.
Saying we don't want this to pass.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a unique. I don't know how closely people are following this. I'm trying to, just in the off chance that it passes. I don't know what the percentage breakdown is of, you know, what the handicappers in D.C. are saying about the odds.
Baker says it's at, according to Yahoo Sports, Charlie Baker says it's at 50-50 to pass.
So you're at a coin flip, potentially. Our guy Pate thinks it's going to pass. Some of the people in the college football world think there's no chance that it passes. It's very unique because you had these two conferences come out and they are going to lobby their elected officials in their regions to probably vote against it.
Well, that's
be the next step. So, senators and congressmen in the SEC and Big Ten territories are going to probably get phone calls from Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey saying, don't vote for this. I understand why they're saying don't vote for it. They don't want the off chance to pull your television revenue when you have these TV contracts that are astronomically bigger than everybody else. But I absolutely hope that it passes because as many faults as the bill has. And
you want this to pass?
Without a doubt. I haven't read every detail of it. I'm sure there are unintended consequences and loopholes in here that we'll look back on 5 years from now if it does pass and say, damn it, that probably shouldn't have been in there. Or, dang it, it didn't address this issue. The system we have right now is off the rails, but, and there is no rules in place. Yeah. And anytime somebody wants to file a lawsuit to then refile, you know, rechange the rules, they can.
So you want the NCAA to have antitrust?
I do. I do. As long
you also
as there's
want them to be capped, which means players will not be able to make whatever they want to make. There'll only be a certain amount they're allowed to make.
This is the hearing stage of the bill, so there will be a point where if the House passes or the Senate passes it, you can go for, you know, they can adjust the bill and then the other side can revote on it. So there are still time for revisions. This is not the final look of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think ultimately it does more good than bad when it comes to fixing a lot of the issues that plague what I hear from fans complaining about college athletics at all times. The out-of-whack distribution of TV revenue for conferences, some having everything, others not having that. Players transferring at a whim whenever they want to. There's a fart smelled bad in the locker room. I'm getting out of here. I'm transferring to another school. A lot of them getting really bad advice from people in their lives, from agents who are telling them they can make this amount of money, and so many of them end up without a home.
Why can't they make those decisions?
I know. I get that I get it. I understand it. It's the free
Nobody
will.
Nobody told
it's
me
independent.
To not make decisions that I made when I got out of high school. I made
understand
my own decisions, and not all the decisions I made were great. So, like, why are we telling them they can't make their own decisions?
You can still make the decision. You want to transfer? You can still transfer.
Only
should
one
able,
time.
Should you be able to transfer every year?
Isn't that a bit extreme? Do we have a ton of examples of
in
kids
college
that,
in college basketball, we're literally doing it every year.
College basketball is a different yeah.
But this is the point of the bill. It's not just directed towards football, and I know that's the primary focus
the bread
of a lot
and butter
of people.
Of all of this. That's
I
the
get
meat
it.
Potatoes of it.
I get it. There are two options if you want any sort of guardrails in this to be fixed. It's either we get a union from the players or they pass a bill.
Well,
the union is never going to happen because there are too many athletes that are represented here. There is 0% chance that ever takes place. And so this is the only other alternative. It's either this or nothing.
So I guess
what's better?
Well, I don't know if it has to be as simple as that.
Yes, like, what else is the other alternative?
Well, but what? Okay, so you want to take away? So one area that I really don't like is this transferring thing. Now I'm putting you on the hot seat, but I'm also telling you before I do it, I don't have an example. Can you name a single college basketball player that you can
name?
I don't
follow college basketball.
That has transferred four straight years.
I know it's happened, but I don't follow college basketball.
Okay, I can't either. And I don't know how many people out there can unless somebody has written a story about them. I'm not saying it hasn't happened.
I know my entire team is new every single season.
Yeah. College basketball is a lot different in football in that
and
regard.
Yesterday we had a professional, we've had in college basketball, professional basketball players file lawsuits to be able to come play college basketball. And there's nothing that the NCAA can do. You know why? Because they don't have antitrust.
Well, the one kid for Bama came back, played in a game, but then was not permitted to play again.
Multiple players have tried to do it and filed lawsuits in order to do it.
I think, I forget the kid's name, Luis Jr., something Luis Jr. I forget where he played, but he left. He went to the G League.
There's another one this offseason that everybody's up in arms about yelling. I think he's going to LSU and everybody's pissed at Will Wade.
So then, like, this is where you kind of, not you, the proverbial you lose me. Make your own. Why do you need to go through all this legislation that limits what student athletes can make and what they choose to do? Why can't you guys just as entities?
Because they're going
to
file a lawsuit and it takes one judge to strike it down and then the whole thing is moot. That's all. That's literally been this entire process.
Yeah, I get it. But
we have rules in place.
Don't.
Somebody files a lawsuit that says that's unconstitutional. The judge says it's unconstitutional. The rule goes out the window.
So you want all the revenue from the TV. So the Big Ten, the SEC, no longer top dogs. Everybody's getting the money.
Well, it's not a guarantee that they split the revenue. I would be okay with that. Ultimately, yeah, I don't care if it hurts my team or not. It's better for the product of college athletics to not have two conferences making. You know how much the Big 12 is going to make
next
year?
So you do think college athletics is fundamentally broken?
I still love it. I still watch it, and college football is my favorite sport on the planet, and I can't wait for next season to start. But yes, yes.
I mean, as somebody that's
it's
always
all broken.
Argued, I think it is.
We have
broken.
Schools being left behind. We're cutting athletic programs. The payments of players is only going to keep going up and up and up and up and up, and the revenues are not going to keep going up and up and up. And
it just feels,
to me, it's an untenable situation.
Yeah, it is, but it's been that way, and we've still existed. It just feels like this is like. In some ways, I don't know if this will pass. It's very odd to think about how many SEC states, Big Ten states are involved.
Yes.
How are those representatives voting in favor of it if
and
those
how many,
schools are specifically... Because you know there's people that are funding those campaigns, those politicians.
Mm-hmm.
And if the schools are like, we don't want it, I don't even know how it's 50-50 if those states are involved.
Well, it's also you have SEC school or states that have SEC schools that also have ACC schools, and the ACC is supporting it. Use Florida as an example.
Sure.
Who do you listen to, the Florida Gators, the Miami Hurricanes, or the Florida State Seminoles?
It depends who's contributing the most to the campaign.
Those are two very different stances right now from their independent conferences.
Like Ohio and Michigan, and like you go through the laundry list of things here, right? Like even Cantwell being a part of the bill, she's in
Washington, Washington State.
Yeah, and
one was left behind and is now in a new look Pac-12, and the other one's in the Big Ten.
Absolutely. So I guess where my point, where we are divide is here is just like, why does this have to be the bill instead of just continuing to demand them to keep working together instead of needing big boosters to bribe officials for antitrust that eliminates what I think elements of this bill that I don't like are, well, kids are transferred. Yeah. And read literally a article. You know how many job fields right now people benefit financially more from jumping from company to company?
Certainly a case.
It's how a lot of people are making more money.
Yep.
So why are we stopping a college kid if he can make $3 million here and the next year $4 million in a different place? If we can't specifically cite names, I'm sorry. I don't care that there's 1,500 kids in the college football portal that didn't have a home. You got to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
You get bad advice. You make mistakes, right? Did anybody help my family member if they buy a house and the market crashes, they can't afford and they lose the house? No, there's no prevention from that. You got to take risks. Yep. So if somebody wants to jump into the portal thinking they'll make this and that and start and they don't get picked up, like let them make that mistake. I don't know why we need to stop that.
I think it's a fair argument. I don't have any arguments against it. All I know is the system is broken.
And I agree
with you there. Right now, I am faced with two possibilities. If you want to tell me that Congress can sit down and rewrite a better bill or that we can edit some of these things in here to make a little bit more sense to fit the current climate of what the sport looks like, I'm all about that. But if you're presenting me the two options of this bill or nothing, I will take this bill.
Instead of the possibility of a different bill?
What are the chances we trust Congress to come up with another one? This was a Democratic senator from Washington and Ted bleeping Cruz who got together and drew this thing up. It's about as bipartisan as you can get. And so
the start of the bill, we have to wait and see. They need five more Democrats to vote in favor of
it. There's a long process to go here. To me, the system is broken, and I know it might not benefit my school. And the idea of pooling revenue is still a tall, tall, tall task, right?
I think there's a lot of elements of this bill that could be tall, tall tax.
Without a doubt. But there's a lot in there that I like, and I do think guardrails should be in place. Unfortunately, we can't just have the conferences come together and elect a commissioner and say, you get to set the rules for everybody, because that's how every other sport works.
It can't be a league.
But until we do that, we're not going to have that option. And so I'd like to have some rules in place, yes.
All right, 7:39. We're done yelling at each other about antitrust and Senate bills as they have the committee. I am curious to hear what these individuals have to say today at the hearing.
Yeah, it'll be curious. I don't know where Saban's stance is on it, to your point. I don't know how he feels about it, but it's unique coming from Bama and the SEC if he's for this bill.
If he's pro this bill.
They are adamantly against it, as is the Big Ten.
You're banned from playing in the next Pro-Am golf tournament we have.
No more coaches invites from you.
We got a sadder story to get into in the final hour of the radio program. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more. It is 7:39 on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We got into an antitrust fist fight during the break.
You see the other guy, man. Look, I know that it's a very hot-button issue, and I get that it's not – people are texting in thoughts. And
we do agree on the general – I mean, I've said it before. Like, I do think there's a lot of broken elements. I won't refute that. That's not the argument I'm making. I just
– one of the other big things in this bill for me is that it will keep my conference now, the Big Ten, which is not my conference, but essentially is.
Your adopted conference. Yeah.
And the SEC from poaching people from the ACC and Big 12
the
years to come.
Stuff.
If this bill was in place 5 years ago, guess what still exists?
I'm not saying there aren't bills. There are elements of the bill I like.
Yeah.
I just, there are some things that.
Yeah, it's not perfect. That I will grant you.
Yeah, the things that
I. And I understand the argument of being like, why should we be able to tell kids when they can and cannot transfer? I grant you that. That's a fair argument that I don't have a lot of anti-argument against, other than it's better for the sport if you don't transfer. So people can know their players and you create a bond and a relationship with the guys and they're not jumping around.
create a bond.
Well,
having text conversations.
No, I think one of the biggest things that will continue to hurt fandom is the idea, my program doesn't deal with this. We don't have starters who jump into the portal. Anytime.
Your basketball program does, though.
We don't
though.
Care about basketball, so that doesn't bother me.
I'm just saying, that's sure. the sport it impacts the most,
no
I think,
doubt
for
about
fans.
It. I think there are 85% of college football programs that are probably fed up with the idea of, anytime you find a good player and we were compensating him, and maybe he transferred in or he's gone. Every single time it happens. It's just it's open free agency every year.
Yeah.
If Oregon State has a good season this year and finds a couple of good players,
oh, there'll be guys
where
that
are all of those guys playing 2 years from now?
Oh, careful with the all, you know what I mean?
That's why I want this bill to pass.
We're going to make 13.
But I understand why people don't like it. I certainly do.
All right. Well, we'll move on from that. I am curious to get the thoughts. We have NFL chatta. We had some NFL notes pop up. One of them I wanted to write here. Yeah, here it is. I love the idea of an Eagle player already talking about how glad he is that A.J. Brown's gone. Jordan Mailata.
This is over.
He said, I think this is more of a, it sounds terrible, but like, thank God it's over. It was a slow pain of just, is he in? Is he out? We really didn't know. And that really wasn't our focus as a team, our team especially on offense. So they are, in a weird way, celebrating the fact that A.J. Brown is now become a New England Patriot.
Rightfully so, man. It became more of a distraction as time went on. Even them winning the Super Bowl, that's the funny part I love bringing up. Like, go back to the playoffs 2 years ago on their way to a Super Bowl. What was the storyline? Around them, it was mainly A.J. Brown's reading a book on the sidelines that becomes an Amazon number one bestseller because he's upset that he's not getting enough targets, even though they're winning their playoff games en route to winning a championship.
Yeah.
He just was not happy with the way the offense looked and was not even happy, it seemingly, after they won a championship. We all knew this divorce was going to happen. I loved the candor and the honesty from Mailata there. Like, dude, we're just like, I didn't take it as like an ill will towards A.J. Brown.
No,
we
I
hate
agree,
him. It
yeah.
was mostly just like, thank God we don't have to deal. Because every time they step in front of the media, what do they ask him about? Hey, what's up with A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts?
What book's he reading right now?
Exactly. Now you don't have to deal with that anymore.
The Falcons signed Drake London. 4 years, $141 million, $100 million guaranteed. Top three paid wide receiver in the league.
He's been awesome despite in the face of their quarterback woes that they've had over the last handful of seasons. Very interesting year ahead for Atlanta, man. The Tua thing never made any sense to me.
How do you view him?
Who, Tua or Drake London?
Drake London.
I think Drake London, he might be the guy throwing in the ball this year.
Yeah.
Penix, you know, has had some trouble staying healthy. I view him as an elite wide receiver that if he was in a different place with a different system.
You view
and
him as elite?
I do. I think we would be talking about him drastically different if he played in a different market with a
That's
different
a
quarterback.
Great random ass sports poll question. is Drake
elite?
London elite?
I mean, he is. Let me pull up the year by year numbers for him. How many years would you say in his NFL career he's played with a good quarterback? Has it happened to him?
I think Kirk.
He came in with Desmond Ridder.
Was Kirker's first year the beginning of that start?
Would have been 2024 season or 2023 season.
Maybe I'm misremembering a little bit here, but remember that Thursday game against the Bucs and they won and he was doing the swag surf with the crowd? And
he had the comeback against the Eagles, remember, on a Monday night or a primetime game as well.
I mean, in his career in Atlanta, I'd say largely eight games.
Okay.
It's been pretty bad.
Eight
dude.
Of his 62 have been
it's
with good quarterback
been pretty
play.
Pretty terrible there.
This is my point. 866
Heinicke,
yards.
Right?
Yes, I'm pretty sure Heinicke started a couple of
I
games.
I think Heinicke
for him.
Was there.
Harley, help us out on our Falcons quarterback stats. 866, four tuds, 905, two tuds, 1,200, nine tuds, 919, and seven tuds. He has played 17, 16, 17, and 12 games. So I think he's only gotten better. Desmond Ridder was legitimately one of the worst quarterbacks the NFL has seen in the last 50
Ridder
years.
Was so bad.
And that was the
He's
primary
not even
guy.
League, I don't think.
No, he was horrendous. That's who they benched Mariota for. Mariota might have even been one of the guys, too. That might have been the guy in 2022.
Oh, you're right.
Might have been Mariota at the start,
yes.
Then they bench him,
That's
and then
right.
Ridder comes in,
That's
and then
right.
they sign Kirk. Like, it just has been a disaster. Like, put him with Matt Stafford and what do his numbers look like?
Well,
I don't understand why we don't do this to more wide
could
receivers.
You put him with, let's go out of the top five guys. Like,
Is Justin Herbert a top five guy for you?
Yeah. Oh, top five?
Top five.
No.
Put him with Herbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Put him with Purdy.
Is Dak Prescott a top?
Put him with Darnold.
Yes.
Put him with Dak.
Any of those guys.
You're right.
And he's putting up bigger numbers.
Well, the poll question's up. Is he elite? Yes or no?
I saw this signing. Makes sense. You got a quarterback on a cheap deal. The Kirk Cousins thing's off your books, at least for now.
Oh, I'm not anti the deal. I just was thinking about like how I feel about Drake London because he certainly has big games, and then there's other games, I'm like, two catches? Three catches?
Right.
And I'm like, eh. But then, like, his quarterback
thinks
because
Michael Penix
terrible.
Turfs the ball 4 yards in front of him?
Yeah, I mean, that's not great.
He's on his back the entire game. I just find it funny that we don't do that more in sports when we talk about the success or the value of an athlete, of what do they have around them, as if it doesn't matter. As if Drake London, no matter who's throwing him the football.
I mean, we did this with Stafford, didn't we? Like,
yes.
He had good numbers. He had Megatron.
He had Calvin Johnson. That helped a ton.
They were terrible.
They were terrible. It's just sometimes guys, really good players, can play on bad teams without help around them. And if they were in a better situation, their numbers would look better.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of, like, the Minnesota game. Three catches.
Yeah.
Or no, four catches.
Yeah.
Or no, three.
Three catches.
He had four targets. He had
four
three
targets,
catches.
Three catches.
The Niner game, he had four catches. He was irrelevant in that game.
What were their passing stats as a team last year? What did they rank in the NFL?
Oh.
And, like, passing yards per game.
They had to have been near the bottom. He had 68 catches last year.
Kirk Cousins started half their games last year.
Let's see.
There's no way.
Like, passing yards?
Just
you
do
know
passing yards per game. I know that's not the end-all, be-all for how your passing offense looks. But
yards per game, Atlanta was?
It's going to be surprisingly higher. Is it not? Are you going to be surprised by the number?
I mean, dead middle.
Yeah, right in the middle.
Dead middle.
Yeah.
Actually, more near bottom, like, just beyond
and
middle.
And the third tier, maybe.
Maybe
yeah.
The third tier, yeah. Okay. They averaged 207 yards. God, the Chargers only averaged 212.
Yes, they couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't block.
Herbert the pervert. What are we doing?
Herbert the pervert. This is his year, baby.
Not great, but I totally understand the extension.
They're just an interesting team for me this year of, like,
I don't know,
are you really going to play Tua? Penix has to be your guy for another year, right? Right?
Why did you bring Tua in?
Right.
And Stefanski?
A retread offensive coach?
He's a weird dude. I don't know if I trust his eye.
Mm.
Like, he did good. The Baker thing was fun.
Until he ran him out of town.
You know, with Myles Garrett being traded, not a single Brown exists from their playoff team in 2021.
That is bonkers. That was 5 years
only
ago.
5 years ago.
That's like, yeah, if you tell me there's nobody left on the 1994 49ers, by all means, I get it. That was 5 years ago.
Yeah, so, like, and Stefanski kind of gets weirdly, he's always gotten a benefit of doubt.
Yeah, he's a smart offensive mind. You just got to get him the right quarterback.
He's a two-time coach of the year,
yes,
right?
Isn't
he a two-time coach of the year?
Multi-time coach of the
year. So, like, he's just an interesting dude to me of, like, okay, I don't want to hear the Cleveland crap anymore. Like, prove it. If people are giving you benefit of doubt because you made the playoffs one time as the Browns, do it in Atlanta.
Yep.
So I don't know who's going to be quarterback.
Division is gettable, dude. Carolina won the division last year. That's you should be able
to compete. Carolina won the division because Atlanta
beat
or lost their last game. It was because of what Atlanta did, not because of what Carolina did.
They backed their way to the playoffs.
Nick Herbig got a 4-year, $100 million extension. You might be asking the same question that I asked, and I'm going to be honest here. Who? Don't worry. Nick Herbig has never been a full-time starter for the Steelers. He had 7.5 sacks last year.
Yeah.
And he was asked about this, and he goes, well, I wouldn't say, like, I'm not a starter for the Steelers. I just do everything for them.
Wait, you're telling me I'm offered $100 million and I'm not a starter? I'll take it. Where do I sign? 4-year deal? Sounds good to me.
A 4-year, $100 million deal for a player.
I think it's only $40 million guaranteed, to be fair. It's very incentive-laden contract, and probably two, and then we'll cut you because
no
contract is real.
If this dude has 8 sacks this year, he might see the full length of that contract.
Very well
That's
could.
All I'm saying.
And give me some incentives in there. He's about to go put in some work, my guy Herbig.
What is the percentage of football fans
who know who he was and where he played?
If I just would have said Nick Herbig.
I wouldn't have had anything for you. I might have guessed football player, but if I would have gotten it right, I would have been
lucky. No, if I would have told you football team, Nick Herbig.
Oh, nothing.
Thank you.
Never heard of the guy.
I just want us all to be honest about this.
Never heard of
the
guy.
Some of you are super fantasy nerds. That's okay. You do a lot of defensive stuff.
Do you know defensive players, though, as a fantasy nerd? Because some leagues will do the individual player.
I just actually got out of the league.
Yeah.
I backed
out. Good for
you. I made a bold choice.
You made the right call.
I am who I am.
You don't have this much time on your hands.
Anyways, you had to go individual defensive players, it wasn't team defense.
That's way too complicated.
So I had to learn actual
I already
names.
Forget to set my starting lineup for my offense, let alone my defense. Now I got guys on bye weeks on my defensive line.
Yeah.
This is ludicrous.
Yeah. So a couple extensions given out in the NFL. We didn't get to our Myles Garrett audio. Garrett talked about being a Ram. We get to that in third hour. We got Stouter Story in the fourth hour. We roll on. Dirt and Sprague back with more on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.